real nice. I like McDonald's French fries quite a bit. I like fast food French fries. There are no bad fast food French fries, as far as I can tell. Road changed ahead. New curve. Ooh, this new curve. This new curve, though. Why is there... What are you doing? This is all super weird. There's too much construction. I was looking over the list of stuff we're going to play on that stream tomorrow. It's longer than the list of stuff we looked at last week. There's a fucking lot of shit coming out for that thing. Or a lot of stuff that's like worth looking at. A lot of games came out for the Rift and the Vive too, but a lot of them were like stuff you'd look at for 2 minutes and move on. Oh, man, I hope that that stuff... I hope that they push out some kind of fix for that stuff, because it's still been messed up. Pretty sure it's not a hardware issue, but feel free to suspect however you like. I'm going to say damn near positive it's not a hardware issue at this point. What are we doing? Everybody's got the blinkers on. No one's fucking making the turn. Make the fucking turn. What are you doing?
since. You know?
Yeah, you know, that's the crazy thing about it is, even after I got a deal, I still be at the crib, like back in Miami. If I ain't in the studio, I tell my homies, yo, we gonna hit up 2-3 clubs and make sure these DJs play these new records and see what's the feel and what the people are rocking with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I'll do that for like a week or two and see which one they gravitate towards and then give it to that DJ and tell them, like, keep doing your thing with that record. Because that's what we did with Blow a Check. Like, we didn't have nobody pushing us. I made it on a billboard with no label. You see what I'm saying? With us. That was just us who did that. Yeah. So imagine I had him. By the time I signed my deal, Blow a Check was about to be a year old. So we ain't had no machine. If we had a machine to get behind that, I probably would have went number one.
Because
You can't do it by yourself. For sure, You can't. Like, you need that machine. Them people ain't going to let you touch that number one spot without that bag being thrown at it.
And you know what's so crazy? A lot of these cats in the street, they think that they're going to make a record. They're going to give it to me, or they're going to give it to Flex, or Envy, or whatever. We're going to play it, and then the whole world is going to grab it, and it's going to go to the moon.
Bro,
you need a machine for it to work nationally, whatever, man. That's about $120K.
Not even 100, that's 150.
Yeah, exactly.
150 for rap. You got a pop record, man. You need 250, 275.
Cats don't understand what this game is really all about.
My show money was going right back. My manager was like, okay, you can hold this much. That much going to the radio. So we was doing that alone by ourselves before we even sat with labels and stuff like that.
And where did you peak on the billboard when you was doing it and yourself?
What we got to, like 37?
That's huge. Independent. Right?
32.
Wow.
That's a good look.
You know, I was hoping we would get, but the number one gonna come, because that ain't where I'm stopping at. I'm gonna keep going, but. And they're about, I don't want a deal, I don't want a. Nigga.
Can't say that all the time. Because it'll be artists that come through here.
Some niggas be hustling. They be getting trap money. Whatever money you getting, and you think it's cool, you don't need a label, you trying to flex on artists with a deal. Is that not the goal when you decided to make music your love and what you want? It's for you to get a deal.
Exactly.
And get your family straight. You boasting about you don't get a deal. When the feds come and you lose all that drug money, you's a dickhead sitting in the jail. That lost everything. All the studio time you paid for. All the drugs you sold, everything you did is gone.
Money gotta go
nothing.
To the lawyer.
Exactly. So all that crying about you don't got a deal, this, that, nigga, shut that shit up and go find a deal, nigga. If you don't want a major deal, partner up with the label. You don't want to do, you don't want to get partner
get
you
no
up.
Limit on.
Do something. But at the end of the day, you need them people. Them people is not letting you get to TV. You're not going to do them late night shows. You're not going to get certain festivals, certain look without that label, bro. Period.
Talk.
I like that.
Period. Yeah, that's not gonna happen.
Sharp mind right there.
Yeah, you got it. Man, listen.
You might get one of them type of people that come once every 30 years.
Exactly. You might get it. You might get it.
That get like that, but they're not,
it's not for everybody.
You step in there like
it's not for everybody.
You gotta be astronomical like Tupac. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
man, it's gonna get to a point where they blackball you. Like, oh, you don't wanna be with us? Okay, because at the end of the day, the radio labels. The label, they own the radio stations. Some of these people own the radio stations, so you not signed with them, you ain't getting played, homie. Forget that. You gonna be in the strip clubs, in the streets.
And the only thing that's good right now is the internet.
The internet is good. That's very insightful.
Streamings count now.
Yeah, it counts.
That's the only thing that's helping people get by. That's streaming. You know what I'm saying?
Like, the internet is super great because it's like you ain't got to go pay nobody to do promotions for you. It's right at your hand. You got the world. It's like a big concert everybody's attending at one time. Once you press share, everybody's part of that concert.
That's real talk.
It is.
You just got to use it. You got to use it for the right things. You know, people be using it for bullshit. Like, artists, I look at artists' pages and I just see funny stuff, comedy, and nigga, where the music at, bro?
That's
true. I use the internet for bullshit all the time.
I don't see cats on none of the major sites, and it's nothing anywhere on the internet. You telling me how you grind and you going hard
and you
popping.
The next one up.
I'm like, popping where?
I don't see you on Worldstar, yeah. That Piff.
It's to the point, Worldstar is like, now you put your stuff on Worldstar, it's cool, but you gotta go to that big box. Now you gotta show these people when they come on there, they gotta see you because they see a whole bunch of other stuff. And if you don't have fans going to that site just to see your stuff, people just gonna
scroll right past. You know who I feel is like, as far as hip hop, is the site that makes a difference now. Rap Radar.
They like, definitely ain't
Rap Radar.
Shout out to Rap Radar.
If that's
shout
like, if you're hip hop, if your music is right, if it's, it should be up there. If it's not up there, that means you're not doing something.
Yeah,
right.
Something ain't right. You know, but sometimes you need the plugs too. You need the relationship. Relationship plays a major role in this too.
Exactly.
Like you could, your stuff could be hot and then it ain't get hot enough to get to that part of it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Or your stuff could be trash and you still get on.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of trash stuff going around, but you know, it's working for them.
Exactly. But then, you know, it's about longevity.
Exactly.
You might work for them now, but when they get
That's the key right there. I don't look at 5 days. I look at 5 years. You could be winning for 20 days straight. That's cool with me. I want to be winning for 20 years.
Smart.
888 Shade 45 Street Super Radio. We got something else over there? No? We'll go back to the first joint we played. Go back to that then.
Y'all need to play that blow check. I know y'all got it.
That? You got blow check in there?
Oh, we can pull that up.
Yeah, we can pull that up. It ain't like we can't pull it up.
That record, though. Talk about that record. It was huge.
Yeah, man. It did what it did. It was a blessing, too. You know, I'm always in the studio. I don't smoke or drink, so I be working more than anything, so.
I even saw somewhere, like, you don't really talk about, like, the drugs and like, all that.
Nah,
songs,
if I make a drug record, it's just my homies in the studio boosting my head up. Yo, man, just rap about that real quick. Because my music is really what I go through in real life. What I go through with girls, what I go through with my homies, what I went through in the past, or what I see my peers are going through. I rap about, like, real stuff. I don't just fabricate it and put it in music and make it sound good. That's why I try to relate to everybody. So I put, like, stuff that I really go through knowing somebody else out there is going through it. Mm. So, therefore, you won't always catch me with any type of music.
And what's the process like with you going into the radio? I mean, not the radio, in the studio.
I just go in the studio and play beats. We run through, like, 15, 20 beats.
Uh-huh.
And then whichever one speaks to me, I speak back to it. And I record. Because I don't write, so I just go in the booth and...
Now, talk about that not writing.
Hold on, no, hold that thought.
Are we going to wait?
Hold that thought.
Oh, I thought we was waiting for the song. Oh, we got it up?
We got a joint, but then I want him to look for it.
Oh, okay.
Play it to me.
Yeah, run that.
Say that conversation.
You know what I'm saying? So,
in
Dallas.
We in the building. Shout out to my dog, K Slay, the Drama King, man.
Yeah.
You all right over there?
I'm just tryna run through the money, run. Yeah. I'm just tryna run through the money, run.
What? Yeah.
I'm tryna blow a check,
blow a check, check.
I'm tryna blow a check,
tryna blow a check, check.
I'm tryna pull up in the front and make the niggas upset. Run through the money, run. I'm just tryna run through it. Heard them niggas making threats, tell them come do it. All my niggas with the shit, uh-huh. Even in a fist fight. Bet them niggas still gon' bring a gun to it. Yeah, I'm just tryna pull up in the van. Hit the block, make them upset. I ain't done yet.
Yeah.
Girl, I'm on the cash route. Motherfuck love, young nigga tryna cash out. I'm on a money mission. Bitch, you looking for attention, tryna make a nigga.
Did you see Merce was gonna rap for 24 hours straight on Twitch? He started this morning, I think. It's kind of crazy. I watched 20 minutes of it or whatever. It's just sitting in a chair on a green screen, just rapping. Yes, fuck the other side. I hear you. Word. I'm with that, Holmes.
I'm so light. It's that boy. Say my name. Bring the hoes out. Club over with. Pull the throat.
They all rock with the fuck at, baby. Yes, so we can freak it. Freak it, won't you?
No fear.
niggas upset. Run through the money.
Dropping some of the hottest verses rappers ever heard. But it don't spot.
Southern Star.
Hey, this is Walker from Tennessee. I'd like to shout out my mom, Beth Ross. At number 13 is Sia and Sean Paul, Two Thrills.
Your mom is cute.
Upgraded girl, rock with it girl, see what I mean girl, but a bang bang, bunks with it girl.
Love me blind, if we don't this whole thing up, guaranteed I can play your mind. And tonight I'm alive in a dollar sign, guaranteed I can play your mind.
Shots in here, you want one?
As a songwriter, billions poured into Temperton's bank account. See if you recognize these hits from the 80s from Temperton.
Classic alternative on SiriusXM. This is Swedish Eagle saying a happy birthday to one of our most popular artists, Mr. Bob Mould. This is the big 56 today. Happy birthday, Bob. Hopefully you've had a fantastic day. See, there's still a little light at the end of the tunnel, huh, Bob?
Independent music as it happens. Dirty Projectors. Keep your name. Now on SiriusXMU.
She never got there. She never got there. She never got there.
Yeah, people trying to merge into me. This is going great.
Badge, and last year one person gave us the American flag with a certificate of combat on one of the tour duties that they did, and they gave us the American flag that they had flying in their helicopter during that battle and stuff. So yeah, we missed the
thing. I mean, they brought him back because he was hot doing Ring of Honor, doing Lucha Underground,
Triple A,
doing, but to bring him back at that time, he was hot. A lot of buzz around him. To use them and automatically just have that character go stale really made no sense.
And I mean, listen, this is all speculation. This is just me looking back on it now with hindsight. But it's almost like they brought him back just to kill, to just lower his stock as much as possible before releasing him again.
And it's funny, you heard that from our interview with Ryback yesterday. Again, if you missed it, go to, you know, our SiriusXM on demand. Why, though? Why do they feel the need to do that?
Because they're spiteful. I don't know. It's just. There's a pattern, though, of them doing that with people.
Yeah, they did it with
WCW. They do it with anybody that has some sort of success outside their world, outside of Brock Lesnar. They seem to have done it too.
Yeah. And, you know, we spoke briefly about how we were at Comic-Con, and we got to sit down and speak briefly with Rey Mysterio, and you brought up to Rey about the mask, you know, how he took the mask off in WCW.
Right.
And also, in regards to Alberto, you know, having his... And about the from the Mexican fans.
There seems to be, and I'm not... I don't want to, this is not racism that I'm implying here, but there seems to be a problem with the Mexican wrestlers that come over because of, you know, the psychology of Mexican wrestling versus, you know, United States or Japanese style. It's just a little bit of a harder transition, and it doesn't seem like WWE is a place that not necessarily understands. I guess they don't, maybe, I guess understanding is the best word, but they just don't seem to work to other people's strengths as much as wanting everyone to fit into their system. And I think that's the biggest problem you're seeing with, like, a Sin Cara that came up, the original Sin Cara,
yes,
you know, Mystico, and you're seeing that with the Del Rio and probably, you know, the Sombra scene, the good-looking guy, and then it's his name now. But he was La Sombra in Mexico with the mask. And you're seeing these guys that come over and they're not getting the run or the starter they had in other places because the psychology of Mexican wrestling to American wrestling is very, very different.
Yeah, so how do you solve that problem? Maybe that's something that we can get into with Alberto. And we have Alberto El Patron on with us right now. And, of course, he is now, as we heard yesterday, is the president of Combate Americas, now the first U.S. Hispanic mixed martial arts sports entertainment franchise in history. Alberto, how are you?
Amigo, what's going on? You just said it all.
I mean, talk about this. I mean, this is history-making right here.
Yes, of course. It's fantastic. I'm super excited. I'm happy because, like you just said, this is the first U.S. Hispanic MMA company in history in the world.
You seem to be always landing on your feet when you leave WWE. I mean, when you left the first time, you had so many places that wanted you, so many places to work, and now you just come back out, and it's like you hit the ground running again. Is there a difference this go around with the landscape of wrestling that you're seeing compared to the first time you left WWE, or are you just finding the same success just as easily?
No, thank God it's the same for me, but let's not forget the first time they fired me from some racist BS. this time they didn't fire me. This time it was me not staying there, me saying I'm happy. I'm still fantastic. Thank God the promoters are still calling the fans. They still want to see Alberto. And now I have something else with Combate America, something amazing, a new role, something new in my life. And I'm just happy and excited about what the future is bringing, what it's going to bring to my life.
Can you take a back seat?
But not just because it was 3 years ago. I'm gonna do some shows here, there for different organizations around the world. I'll go for Mexico. Whoever wants to have and see Alberto, all they have to.
What? You know, the biggest news story coming out, I mean, you've been in the news for the past couple of weeks, but your girlfriend specifically has been getting a lot of attention from WWE for different things that are going on. Is there a small part of you that feels like maybe it's retaliation for the disintegrating relationship you had with that company, or do you think it's professional enough where it's separated?
No, I think it has something to do with that. To be honest, I just, they can do whatever they want, and she's getting affected by a lot of situations, different situations. Some of them are fair, most of them are unfair, but to be honest, because they can do whatever they want because of the nature of their contracts, I just rather stay away from making any comments because I don't want her in troubles, you know. I just want her to be happy. I want her to be good. She's going to have surgery next week on Wednesday. She's been hurt for a while. She has been seeking for help for a while. I was paying for her physical therapy at some point. I was helping her to feel better, and it looks like finally, after months and months, they decided to do something to help her. So I just want her to be okay. And we have an amazing doctor. She has an amazing doctor. She's the same doctor that performed surgery for TJ Wilson. So hopefully after her surgery, she's going to be okay and she's going to feel healthy and good and happy to go back into the ring.
Well, speaking of being okay, are you okay? I mean, it wasn't too long ago we're hearing reports about, you know, somebody with a knife making an attack on you and there's lacerations on your body and your arm. Are you okay?
Yes, I'm fine. It's just, you know, it was one of those situations of
you know,
being
one of those
in the wrong time, in the wrong place at the wrong time. I just It drives me crazy why it's so difficult for some people to understand that a man got involved in a street fight with a stupid idiot who disrespected his girlfriend. That's all that it was. I never make my personal life public, because as you know, there's people that loves you and there's people that hates you, and that people hating you is always gonna say something different than what really is. So that's the reason I try to completely avoid going on social media and tell the world, okay, this is what's going on with my personal life. This time I did it, but I did it for respect for the AAA organization, the Mexican Wrestling Company. The only ones affected by this incident were Dorian Roldan, the owner from AAA, and myself. Of course, I apologize to the fans in Monterrey. I say I'm sorry. They know there's no one who feels more Mexican than Alberto Rodriguez, Alberto El Patrón, Alberto El Presidente, however they want to call me. I promise to make it up for them, and I will. Everybody knows me. Everybody knows my reputation. Everybody knows that I love and respect this business like nobody else. It was a freaking incident, and thank God. It was not like the internet said. I was not in the hospital. I was not bleeding to death. And I'm fine, and I'm here in New York. I'm working for this organization, and I know a lot of good things are coming in my way.
Now your last run on as a free agent, you did some work for Ring of Honor, and there was a video on TMZ today interviewing you where you mentioned that you might go work for TNA, you might go work for Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor has a working relationship with CMLL in Mexico, and that is the direct rival of AAA. Is that going to affect anything there for you as far as working for Ring of Honor? Or are you now, you're Alberto El Patron, you get to call your own shots, don't have to worry about the politics of what companies work with each other?
Well, that's what I've been doing in Mexico. That's why I went to Mexico, my homeland, and I told everybody that this time I was not going to be exclusive for any company in Mexico. I said, I have 30 dates to sell in Mexico, because as everybody knows, I don't want to do too many dates. I want to, that's the main reason why I left that place, because I want to be at home. I want to enjoy my life and my kids. I want to spend time with my kids. So I said, I have 30 dates. If you guys want them, come and get them. I'm going to be working for everybody. And immediately Dorian Roldan from AAA called me and he said, hey, I want them all. Give me all the dates. And I said, well, I cannot give you all the dates because I also want to do some stuff here and there. And that's the reason my first show in my homeland, Mexico, was in Tijuana, Mexico, with the people from CMLL. My next show will be with AAA, and I have a lot of friends in Ring of Honor. As everybody knows, I'm a big fan of that promotion, of those wrestlers in that company. They have nothing but passion and respect for the pro wrestling business. And of course, I want to go there and have fun with them again. They already contacted me like a month ago, and we're just closing the last details for them to have Alberto in the organization one more time.
Yeah, it's crazy how much can change in a year. It was a year ago that you came back to the WWE unannounced. You beat John Cena for the U.S. title, which was hot. And then it kind of just got away from, it was almost like you didn't even beat John Cena for that U.S. title. And something that was a great moment at a Hell in a Cell kind of was just forgotten. Were you surprised by what happened after Hell in a Cell in 2015?
I was expecting something like that to happen. I mean, what that company forgets is that I was born in this business, and I've heard it all, I've seen it all, I knew where they were going, but to be honest, I just went back there to prove them wrong, because when they fired me, I didn't do anything wrong, I didn't do anything bad. It was a freaking incident, and I wanted to go back there to prove everybody wrong. And of course, the right offer was on the table, and I wanted to go back to WWE, because regardless of whatever happened in the past, and if things worked out well this time or not, they put me out there. I'm always going to be grateful for that part. They put me out there, they gave me a name, they put me out there to show the world what Alberto is all about. I show them my skills, my ring skills, just because they put me out there. So I'm always going to be grateful for that, but because I wasn't happy with the situation, so the thing, the way my career was going or not going in that company, I decided to leave. Thank God I had the power to do it, and I said, listen, I don't want to be here. I'm not going to stay here. I'm just going to go and enjoy my life and see you guys later.
We had Ryback on yesterday, and I've talked to other wrestlers that have left WWE and now hit the independent scene, and there's a lot of money to be made out there with guys that have TV exposure, that have made names for themselves, and you've got a lot more advantageous lifestyle in the independent scene for guys like yourself. Why do you think so many people, if they're unhappy there sometimes, are so afraid to leave when there's a lot of money to be made out there if you play your cards right?
Well, if you play your cards right and if you have the talent, because let's not forget that the indie circuit in the United States or around the world, they want to see real wrestlers, good wrestlers, people with talent, not just guys who were created by a TV product, but that in reality don't have anything to offer for the wrestling world. Of course, we're not going to say any names, but we know there's a lot of those in that company. But guys, you just said it, guys like Cody Rhodes, like Drew McIntyre, like myself, everybody knows we're great performers. Everybody knows we're great wrestlers. And they know we love this business like nobody else. And you just said it, the money is out there, but it's not for everybody. That's the reason most of those guys are afraid to leave, because they know that once they leave that place, there's nothing else for them. And the company itself, they live inside this bubble where they think there's nothing out of the window. And I proved them wrong. The year when I was out of that company, the first time I was out of that company, it was fantastic. I did good business. I had for the first time the opportunity to enjoy my kids. I went to my son's baseball games, boxing practice, swimming lessons. I had the chance to be part of my kids' life for the first time. And this time, the last time when I went back, I was missing that. That's the reason I said, you know what? No mas. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going to go and enjoy my kids. I'm going to watch them grow, and I'm going to be happy.
You know, Alberto, I know time is short, and I really appreciate the time that you gave us. And please, the next time in New York, you're absolutely welcome to come to our studios. Just want to hit on Combate Americas one more time. Live event this Friday, October 14th at Turning Stone Resort Casino in Verona, New York. And just one more time, talk about what you're doing and what can we expect on Friday.
Well, yeah, this Friday we're crowning the first ever champion for Combate Americas. We had an amazing main event with Gustavo Lopez and John. I love the nickname, John the Sexy Mexi Castañeda. Those kids are fantastic. They're ready to fight, and you know when you have a Latin guy fighting, you know the fight is gonna be amazing and exciting. So we're gonna have an amazing time. In this organization, we have the right people behind it to make it grow, to make it a success. We have the right fighters. We're expanding the company. We're going all over the nation, and we're going to expand the company to other countries. We are about to sign a good deal with Mexico, with one of the most important TV networks down there. I cannot tell you anything else about it because we're still waiting for those papers and put those signatures in the contracts, but it's going to be something amazing. I want to help this company to be the best MMA company out there, and hopefully in less than 2 years we're gonna be the second most important company when it comes to MMA in the States, and the best company out there in Latin America.
Alberto, I appreciate the time. I'm still pissed off at you that you found Paige, because she was gonna be mine at some point, but that's not gonna happen. You stole her away from me, Alberto.
Unfortunately, she decided to go for the Mexican food instead of the...
Alberto, thank you so much.
She likes Mexican tacos, my friend. What can I say?
Alberto, thank you so much, man. And as much as I'm so glad that you're the president, I do want to see you in a wrestling ring, because that's where we'd love to see you. Thank you so much for the time, my friend.
No, thank you. Thank you, guys. And it will be an honor for me to be in the studio with you guys. Let's please be in touch and let's make it happen.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Alberto Patron, Alberto Del Rio, say what you want. Kind of heard a little bit from Alberto, similar to what we saw, heard from Ryback yesterday. A lot to dive into from this.
In college football, championship dreams are in.
Cut it off. Cut it off.
And I done see this nigga pull up out at least 10 heavy collabs from Fetty Wap or And it's funny because when the records come out, I'm like, this motherfucker.
Yeah.
You understand? Can I get a shout out sometime, Trill? Like,
you're a married man and you're hitting on a guy's girlfriend.
That's
over
just
the
a bit. It's a radio bit.
He just messaged me on Twitter and said he was very offended by your behavior.
I don't think he was. I don't think Alberto Del Rio or Alberto El Patron or Alberto El Presidente is not worried about Dave LaBreca.
I think he might.
I don't think so, pal.
Okay.
I think he's very, very secure.
You have a long.
As he said, to quote, Paige loves the Mexican taco. So that's his words, not mine.
I think you have a great history of outkicking your coverage. So, you know.
Well, just be my wife. I definitely outkick my coverage.
You outkick your coverage, everything. Yeah. You know? You have like a horseshoe stuck so far up that ass of yours.
But of course, that's a bit because I am very, very happy with the lovely Violetta, who is my wife. But I want to see what his reaction is.
You're lucky, Josh.
I just want to see what his reaction
or humor. And he went the humor route because he saw my picture that you've been posting. And he knew right away. Dave LaGreca.
He thought you were the guy from the restaurant in Texas that tried stabbing him.
Oh my gosh. Thank God he's okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad that he was able to tell that story. And you know, a lot to dive in. So let's dive in.
Let's dive in.
You know, it's, you know, it's talking to Alberto first about with, he said the racist BS that he had to go through that first time around. Comes back. I mentioned about that U.S. title run. And did he expect it to go south so quick? And he totally expected it.
He's a smart man.
It's amazing to me that that went that south that quick, especially, Larry, when you talk about the pop that he got coming back unannounced. You know, John Cena was red hot with that U.S. title, all those U.S. Open challenges.
Yep.
Alberto gets it. And then the next time you see Alberto Del Rio, they mention him being the U.S. champion. They don't even make any reference to that victory over John Cena.
Isn't it more insane that that's like a year ago, and it feels like 10 years ago?
I was going to say that. Dude, like, you know, it's not even what a difference.
A year ago?
That was 1 year ago when he arrived. It wasn't even a year ago. It was, I think, Alex will check this. I think Hell in a Cell last year was October 22nd. So it hasn't even been.
That's
a
really crazy thing to just be able to pull. I think it was the 22nd.
The Raw pay-per-view. I mean, you know, it was a year ago that he became U.S. champion, and now he's no longer with the company.
What a wasted year. What a year of waste with him. You know, because think of all the things that happened to his career in a year. He beat John Cena. He got put in that horrible faction. Had the horrible WrestleMania match with the New Day. And now he's gone again.
Yeah, he's gone again. And I thought...
Smoking hot girlfriend.
And within the WWE, Larry, when you look at that moment when he won the U.S. title, I thought that was one of his best moments in the WWE. As hot as Cena was to win that title, I was like, boy, they're going to push this guy now to the moon. Now, I thought a lot of it had to do with the buzz, being in ROH, being in Lucha Underground. It totally did not go in that direction.
Yeah, and you look, you know, I mean, I love Kalisto. I know him personally. I think he's one of the great guys. But, you know, to go from beating John Cena to then losing to Kalisto, who then was just on pre-show after pre-show, they really did no favors with Del Rio.
Hell in a Cell 2015, gentlemen, was October 25th.
25th.
So look, we're coming up on a year.
Even later than I thought.
Look at that memory on you.
Yeah, I try.
That's impressive.
And also, too, when you mentioned about our conversation with Rey Mysterio about that void, I think, that the WWE has, because there is a very, very big Hispanic community that loves pro wrestling, and I think it's an audience that's not being tapped in properly. And it's surprising with those... A lot of the luchadors that come over to the WWE that haven't been able to do more within the company.
Yeah, it's just one of those, again, and I guess he's right to a point. WWE is not going to change for anybody, and there's a language barrier, and there's a psychology, like I said on Sunday in our private conversation, like I said, like I've been saying on air. It's just one of those, it's just unfortunately one of those things, and they got to find the right guy, like a Mysterio or like a Del Rio that has American roots, can speak English, and can work the American style of psychology and professional wrestling. That's a hard transition for some people.
Yeah, and we hope the best for Alberto Del Rio. We hope the best for Paige. Because all these reports that are coming out, these are damaging reports.
Yeah.
I mean, because for the WWE to go public like they have, which they never do, that's going to hurt Paige, I would think, in the eyes of fans. Because these comments are mainstream. They're everywhere. So I asked you yesterday, and now this comes out after we had our show yesterday. I mean, you didn't think she was coming back before. You think there's any way that she's going to be a part of the WWE?
I think she wants to, but I don't see it happening. And the quickest, you know, listen, you've been married. You know, I've had girlfriends that lasted, you know, different variations of time. But the quickest way to get to a man is to hurt the person he's with. So they can't. Del Rio's untouchable in a lot of ways. And, you know, the more damage they can do to Paige, it affects Del Rio, too.
And then you mentioned the indie scene, Larry, and then talking about the indie scene, and he said, you know, you have to be good at what you do. I mean, just being a character that was pumped up on WWE television isn't going to be enough to carry you on the indie scene. You have to be good at your craft. You have to be a good wrestler. And he kind of said, you know which ones I'm talking about, meaning some wrestlers that are currently on the WWE roster. I mean, you said that why don't more people jump ship and then go to the indie scene knowing that there's money to be made? I'm surprised about how many people do jump ship.
Are you?
Yeah, because we always say... And I'm glad that you have a little bit of a different view on this, because we always say that right now, the WWE is the major leagues of pro wrestling.
So
it's invaluable to your career. You're taking a big chance by leaving the WWE, because by leaving the WWE, you may never be able to come back, or if you do come back, they could do damage like they did to Alberto Del Rio. I mean, you could leave and never be have that door closed in your face. And who's to say that you're going to make it on the indie scene? For as many Matt Hardys that there are that have left the WWE, how many people really do make it and can make a living on the indie scene?
See, I've been on a bad reality TV show, so I understand on a personal level that, you know, being on a bad TV show or not being shown properly on TV can be very damaging to your career more than the benefit of being on TV is. I think.
Okay.
So that's just me. So, like Ryback said or Del Rio, if you're not going to be used the proper way to the point where it's going to damage your personal brand and hurt you from going out there and getting opportunities to make a living when your run's done there, because once they're not using you right, you know that the clock's ticking on your career there.
Yeah.
So the clock's ticking on your career, you're not being used right, and you're constantly seeing your value go down because of that. That sometimes, if you have an option or you have the ability and you have the hustle to go out there and make the money, the best thing for you to do is leave. That's what Ziggler's doing wrong. Like, if Ziggler's not getting used properly, because the best thing you could possibly, the best position you can be in, if you're not going to be a main eventer in WWE, is to be somebody that the fans view as being underrated or underutilized. Because then when you hit the independent scene, they are just clamoring for you to have major matches and pay big money for your merchandise and all that stuff, because WWE is still the big villain in town to some people.
Well, and I think Ryback would be an example of that. Ryback, when he was at the... Wait, hear me out. Ryback at the end of his WWE run, I don't think a lot of fans wanted to see him. So I think there's a lot of people on the indie scene that would want to see a Ryback. Same with Alberto Del Rio.
Ryback will fit in with like a WrestlePro and will fit in the convention scene, fit in on the big like Northeast Wrestling, those big stadium shows. He'll have a market for himself, but he's not going to have the kind of market that Cody or Drew had. It's a different... You're talking about different sections of a fan base that you're going after. Ryback with his supplement line and all that other stuff, that's Ryback's cup. Do WrestlePro, do Northeast Wrestling, do big convention shows, go to WrestleCon, you know, there's your money. The Drew Galloway's and the Cody Rhodes's, because they're viewed as more underappreciated workers in the ring, have a different market out there on the independent scene. It's just facts.
And could always come back to the WWE at some point, because we've seen that more often than not. When you thought the door was completely closed, somehow, some way, they find themselves back into the WWE.
A good hand's a good hand. You know, it's hard to find good hands in wrestling. It just is.
And you're seeing that more and more. I mean, you're seeing it now in that so-called, quote-unquote, new era. You're seeing some people return that you never thought you'd see return.
They haven't used anyone that's returned outside of Rhino with any semblance of purpose or meaning.
Right now? Did you ever think you were going to see Rhino back in the day? Did you ever think you were going to see Rhino back not only in the WWE, but Ryback having gold around his waist?
Rhino.
Yes.
I met Rhino. Rhino's a likable guy.
All right, well, coming up right after the break, DDP. Friend of the show, another guy who should be in the WWE Hall of Fame. And, of course, DDP Yoga. He'll be joining us in hour number two. And, of course, definitely want to get out to the Nation. We've been a little lax with the Nation with all these interviews. Good job by Alex Metz. But
Doug Morgan and Dave LaGreca are talking all things pro wrestling on Busted Open.
For all the haters that want...
I love these guys just keep getting cut off by their own fucking commercial breaks and stuff. I like a good wrestling interview. I like hearing wrestlers talk about wrestling. Sometimes. try and play about a half hour or so of Rig tonight to get through the early tutorial stuff before tomorrow. I'm going to dive in and get to it. Some of those games are just going to go in cold. Master, just going to fire that up and go. Hatsune Miku VR future stage, whatever it's called. Actually, I don't currently have that. We're supposed to get that tomorrow. Hopefully we'll get that tomorrow in time to download it and do it on the stream. Do I like to hear Stone Cold talk about beer? Not really. I like the Stone Cold podcast when he's got a good guest to interview, but just Stone Cold on his own, kind of unchecked, with a weak guest or like an average guest, or just kind of like the shows where he's just kind of talking about his own stuff. It's like, yes, you know. I like to hear people interview Stone Cold and ask him, you know, talk to him about his time and stuff. And when he gets going with somebody who's, you know, got a lot to offer as well, and, you know, I think that stuff's really good, but wrestling pod, like wrestler-hosted podcasts, I think a lot of those are a little rough. Though I've never listened to Ric Flair's podcast. Maybe that's great. I can't imagine that's great. There's just no way, right? There's no way a Ric Flair podcast can be anything other than, like, a tragedy. All right, I'm home. Every day, good night, and I'll see you later.